This week, Forest fans mark the 15-year anniversary of the passing of Nottingham Forest's greatest ever manager, arguably the greatest manager England ever produced, Brian Howard Clough, OBE. Should have been Sir. Clough was a constant in my life growing up. The way the man carried and conducted himself was as much a source of pride to me as it was being a Forest fan. Of course, for 18 of my most formative years, those two things were intertwined. Clough was Forest, and Forest was Clough, and I love them both. I remember vividly as a nipper first seeing Clough on TV being interviewed after a rare Forest defeat. He, though, was undefeated, confident, bombastic even, the model of a man who had utter belief in himself and those wise enough to follow him. I followed him. That was the moment I became a Forest fan. It proved to be a great decision, as later that year, Forest won the old First Division. The following season was even more remarkable as Clough, Taylor and co. delivered the first of Forest's two European Cups. As the years rolled on, Clough continued to work his magic, replacing old heads with young hopefuls. Pierce, Walker, Keane, Webb, young Nigel, and others. And Forest went marching on, their trips to Wembley an almost yearly occurrence. Make no mistake, Forest may have won a few trophies before he showed up, but nothing was the same after he arrived. Brian Clough laid the foundations for Nottingham Forest to be a team known the world over. It wasn't just the trophies, it was a way of playing. Forest may never again raise Europe's biggest prize, but the manner in which we achieved that remarkable feat back in the day, twice, the brand of football that Clough demanded, that is something we should aspire to recapture. That's every bit as much a part of his legacy as the silverware that graces the City Ground. I had the great privilege of meeting Cloughy at the club shop during his autobiography signing, long after he'd retired from management. I was a wreck. I slid my book across the table into his hand and stood there, dumbfounded. I was within touching distance of my hero, a man who taught me so much about the game of football and about life itself. A man who'd given me so many moments of unbridled joy over so many years. As he returned my book to me, I was finally able to blurt out, "Thank you, Mr. Clough, for everything." And I meant it. He simply replied with a smile, "You're welcome, young man."
How do you react, though, when someone, you know, from your playing staff comes in and says, "Boss, I think you're doing this wrongly"?
Good. Well, I ask him which way he thinks it should be done. We get down to it, and then we talk about it for 20 minutes, and then we decide I was right.
Welcome to the Forest North America Fancast, giving you club news, game results and previews, interviews with Nottingham Forest Football Club North America chapters.
And he goes for goal and finds it! That is stunning from Joe Lolley!
Find the Forest North America Fancast on Twitter at Forest Fancast. Have questions for the team? Hit us up on the Forest Fancast hotline at 601-308-1865. Here's Mark, Jordan and Corey.
All right, welcome to the Forest Fancast. We've got a large podcast to live up to on this one, especially after an amazing intro. Mark, that was beautiful. And I kind of have a question for you directly. If there was a manager that's in the world right now that even comes close to the effect of Brian Clough, who would it be?
Oh, man, that's a tough call. I mean, I know you guys have some managers in mind from this side of the pond. I think about football in particular. As I was writing that piece, it kind of occurred to me that Brian Clough, I think arguably was the greatest manager that England ever produced. I think when people talk about Cloughy, they talk about him in the same breath as Shankly or as Fergie, right? So Alex Ferguson. And of course, they were Scottish. Outside of those comparisons, it's hard to know. Again, I suppose parallels have been drawn to Mourinho. Again, not English, but still a fantastic coach in his day. What do you guys think? What do you think on this side of the pond?
Learning about Brian Clough and watching specials on him and just knowing the effect of how he launched Forest to the world. I don't think I would know about Forest if he hadn't done what he did in the late 70s and 80s. I just don't think it's possible. So Bill Belichick in New England really comes to mind because everything I've seen from the videos and interviews with Brian Clough just feel like Bill Belichick. The only difference is Bill really doesn't like to talk. I think Brian loved it.
He did indeed. Yeah, we saw lots of great quotes this week coming out on the anniversary of his death. I mean, just some well-worn lines that still raise smiles. And of course, one of my favorites was the Frank Sinatra. You know, he met me once, you know, and that was Cluffy's take on things. Yeah, he was larger than life. And, you know, obviously in the opening piece, I talked some about what he meant to me. But growing up, my dad wasn't around. My stepdad was an arsehole. My grandfather was amazing. But Clough and my grandfather were the two, they were my father figures. I mean, they meant more to me than anything. And Clough in particular meant more to me than just football. So it's difficult when you ask for parallels, you know, which other coaches would I put up alongside Clough? For me, it's such a personal connection. It's hard to look beyond him.
Yeah, one of the all-time greats. You know, look at a lot of the more successful modern managers. You know, Mourinho was idolised, Brian Clough growing up. Someone we'll never really see again as well, I think. He was perfect for his time. I don't think he'd like the way that modern football has gone. So a true legend. It's great that we still continue to respect his legacy every year. Yeah, just a great time for the football club, and what a great man.
I think it comes down to moments in your life too, Mark, that you hear tributes to a lot of people that have passed, and it always falls back on moments you were there for, right? He was there, and it was like Elvis, right? It was kind of like people that were around Elvis were like, there was nothing like it. Or the Beatles, or hate to keep using music, but you were fortunate to see it.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's difficult being in the midst of it because you don't think of it like that, but you're right. And, you know, touching on something Jordan said as well, Nottingham Forest were lucky to have had Brian Clough. You know, he was at Derby, he had a strong connection to Derby as much as we Forest fans may loathe to admit it, but we were lucky to get him and to get him at his pomp and at his best. And, you know, the remarkable legacy left behind, as Jordan said, it's there for all to see, not just in the trophy room, but increasingly, I'm glad to say, on the field now, as Forest is starting to play something that looks familiar, more familiar to me at least. Thank you so much, Cluffy. Appreciate it.
What a great intro to this episode, which is rightfully named Swansea, Barnsley, and Gooners. Oh my.
What a mixed bag.
Yeah, so fortunately we get to start with league games. And I'd like to go back to the Swansea match. Our friend Dan from NYC was there. He was actually there for the first two matches we're going to talk about tonight. And he got 6 points. So props to Dan, right, Jordan?
Yeah, he's done better than me. I have a terrible record when I go back to the UK. I think when I went back in February, it was the first time I hadn't seen Forest lose when I went back to the UK since I've moved to Canada. So Dan's done very well with a 6-point haulage. I think my best is 3 points or 5 points off three games. So yeah, well done, Dan, and thank you for bringing a bit of luck.
Let's talk Swansea. Jordan, Mark, I'm going to let you get into all the tactics and how it was even possible we won that match. I did really a lot of homework in making sure that I'm not going to mispronounce any names on this starting lineup that we had. But we had Samba, the effect, was in goal. Cash, Dawson, Worrell, Ribeiro, Watson, Sal, Carvalho, Silva came in, Amiobi was in, Semedo came in at 67 minutes, Adoma came in for Lolly at 59 minutes, is that right? Or no, Lolly came in for Adoma, sorry. And then Graben was in the match.
Hey!
There he is!
Motherfucker.
WhatsApp's blowing up now. He's got it right!
That's my first huge edit that I have to remember to do too.
It's on you, that one, brother.
It is. I'm going to have to go over that. Unused subs. Muric didn't get in the game. Go figure. Figueredo, Bostock, who apparently has a knock. Robinson didn't get in. Goals. Semedo at 85, which was awesome. And we had one yellow card, which was Samba Sal. Is that right? He had a one at 64.
Yeah. That's right.
So, let's talk about why that was such a huge win. They were at the top of the table, and now we're moving up. Jordan, do you feel it was a bold move sitting Lolly for this match?
Yeah, so I think when the lineup was released for the Swansea game, I think a few of us thought, oh no, here we go again. But, you know, the result proved it to be the correct decision, and, you know, fantastic result. We looked like we could have scored 2-3 goals by halftime. And we really put on a great show, and it was almost a bit of the perfect away performance. And you look back at how we were able to adapt it to the Fulham game when we won 2-1 there, and we were going to top of the table in Swansea, where traditionally we haven't done very well. I think back to some of the playoff heartbreaks of the past under Billy Davis. We really put on a great show and thoroughly, thoroughly deserved the win from my perspective.
Yeah, I think the thing that's most exciting for me, a couple of things. Firstly, this is the first real test we had. You could say West Brom, but that's opening game of the season. And, you know, the boys didn't have their feet under them. And obviously a lot of unfamiliar faces. This really is the first proper test we've had going against team top of the table. It's the watermark. And so for Forest to come out with flying colours, not just a sneaker win, but to come out with flying colours, arguably being the better team away from home, that's really, really encouraging. The other thing as well that stood out to me, coming back to the Lolly piece, and not just Lolly, but there are a couple of other changes in the lineup as well, is although we're starting to get a settled lineup now, or at least a settled core, Lamouchi is doing a really good job of moving around, you know, a couple of three players here and there, keeping everyone interested, keeping everyone on their toes, and making sure that we have a deep bench. I mean, we certainly have a lot of numbers at the City Ground, right? We've talked about that over the last few episodes, but he's making sure that we have guys that can jump in and be ready to go and perform and believe like if they do perform, they're going to see more minutes. And I think developing that hunger in your team, that's really encouraging.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I think, you know, when I look at it, we had a moment of hesitation at the start of the game when Bruce Samba kind of was stuttering on the ball a little bit and almost conceded. But
you take that back.
Yeah. João Carvalho, you know, it's the first time he'd been really, you know, part of a game for a full 90 minutes since he's been back. And, you know, he did that amazing flick for Sam at Yamiobi in the first half. And just to your point, I think, Mark, players are easily able to transition into the in and out of the team at the moment within that core group. And I think Swansea was real testament to that, where you look at the team sheet, we don't have Lolly in the team and you're thinking, oh no, how's it all going to go? But, you know, the players are able to seamlessly transition in and out of the 11 and we're getting the reward for that. So I think that's a great example of how far we've come under Lamouchi so far this season.
My notes on the game, kind of, I just remember it was a super first half of attacking. There was a ton of pressure, a lot of midfield action. I thought Samba Sal was awesome in the midfield. He was just a hammer. Tell me if I'm wrong, but I thought he had a really good match. Matty Cash, he got forward a lot. He was attacking. I thought that was really good. There is a chance he's going to get out of place at times, I'm sure, but I'd rather us be attacking. We can forward to the Arsenal game and there was no attacking. So it was fun to watch that. Arsenal's a different game, but Matty seems to be really kind of fitting in for me. He's very active and I really like seeing him play. He's one of my more favorite players to watch. Possession was huge in the first half for Forest, which was awesome. The one thing that I take from the game is how pathetic Swansea's home field is. Is that just the most boring field ever? I mean,
that's what the fields are like in Scotland, Corey.
Yeah,
generally speaking. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you for that. I've got Google Maps up here, Mark.
I want to pick up on the Matty Cash piece, though, because you make a really good point there. And I think it's maybe the first time anyone other than me has made it. And that's not being critical of you guys. We've had our favorites throughout the season, and there have been some fantastic performances, and rightly so. But I think Matty Cash has been a constant ball of energy. And yes, you're right, Corey. He's been caught out of position a couple of times, playing right back. That's not his standard position, or fullback just generally. I think he could play either side of the field, honestly, but it's no secret I like the homegrowns, and Matty Cash is a player that just puts a smile on my face, and I think he has done a remarkable job so far this year. If you think about the high performances we've seen from Lolly, from Graben, Worrell, they're all playing their usual positions, right? They're all doing what they're expected to do. Cash isn't. He's going above and beyond for the Reds, and fair play to him.
All right, Jordan, I'm going to serve this one up for you. It wasn't a good goal. It was a great goal. Grabbing to Semedo. Tell me about it.
Yeah, just, you know, when you think about all the criticism Grabbing sometimes get on some social media about not working very hard, he's lazy, not interested.
Not smiling.
I think he blew away. Yeah, not smiling. Should have been sold and replaced with Dwight Gale, according to Kenny Burns, you know. I think he proved a lot of doubters wrong. And he's been doing it consistently, but I think this is the first time we've seen this season that it actually resulted in us bagging 3 points, which is what he's in the team to do. If he's not scoring goals himself, it's at least, you know, creating those opportunities and space for other players. And just the sheer determination he had to, you know, Harry and win the ball around the halfway line, basically take on four players and just lay it on a plate to Semedo, I thought was excellent. And, you know, he is one of the highest earners in the squad, and people have been very open about that. But he earned his cash. He really earned it with that goal. Without his work rate, skill, and vision there, we would probably be going away with a 0-0 win, and I'd have actually got 3 points in my predictions. But it was great for us to get that 1-0 win, and real testament and props to Graben for really, really leading the line on that one and getting us the 3 points.
I thought the subs at the end of the game too were really good. Semedo and Lolly coming in, I thought they were massive. I really thought that they played well and just was a big bolt of energy. We had better chances all match, and it was just a huge three points. And what a great day that was.
You know, it's off the back as well. I've taken a point against Leeds as well, which, again, another great, you know, great result and another show of our mettle. You know, I think Forest are in it to win it this year. I keep saying, whisper it. But if we get to Christmas and we're seeing these performances, and more importantly, we're seeing these results, might need to start getting a little bit louder, boys.
I think we can manage that. Next match. Are we good with that one?
Was it?
That's good.
Was it Leeds a point, or did we beat Leeds?
Point.
It was a point.
1-1.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I thought. And after I said that, I was like, shit, am I wrong? Okay, sorry.
Well, to be fair, I felt we played to where we should have probably won that first match, West Brom, but I thought we should have beat Leeds too. I'm getting selfish now. I'll take the point. All right, Barnsley. Have no idea where this team is, but they did come to the City Ground.
Ireland. They're in Ireland. Northern Ireland. They're
North Texas. and it's also League Cup right now. And, man, I'm seeing some teams I've never even heard of playing the big boys. Oxford.
Hey, Oxford, that's my United. Hometown. That's my hometown. They batted West Ham. 4-0. Get in. Come on, you Hughes.
Oxford United beats West Ham, the League Cup.
That's the first place I ever saw Forest. I was at the Manor Ground. I was a regular there with my uncle. First time I ever saw Forest in the flesh.
So we're going to Oxford. I'm going to go and I'll go say hi to the stadium. And I'm looking at getting one of those
different
Toro
kits.
They look great.
Yeah, different stadium. Yeah, they are good. You should get an Oxford City kit as well. Fantastic. Blue and white stripes. Yeah.
Yeah, they look fantastic. So Barnsley, starting lineup, pretty strong again. Samba effect, of course, in goal. Cash, Dawson, Worrall, Ribeiro, Watson, Sal, Lolly, Semedo came in for him a little bit later. Carvalho, Amiobi came in for him a little bit later, and Silva started. Adamo came in for him, and Graben. Subs not used again. Muric and Figueiredo, Bostock, Robinson. The goal was by Watson, which I thought was amazing. That was a great goal, right?
The goal was, I think my headphones aren't working. The goal was who, Corey?
Yeah, Watson, baby.
One more time.
Super.
Super Ben. Super. Super Ben.
Super. Super.
How Dan's enjoying this. Super Benny Watson.
And to be fair, both Marky and I both thought he would be the player of the year this year. So I don't, that's a joke.
I'm sorry, I got distracted because my canes just showed up.
All right.
Oh, there he is.
Did you get the sauce?
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah.
Yeah, the sauce is the best. Jordan has no idea what that is, do you?
I have never had canes. It just looked quite nice from the box.
It's chicken fingers and the most amazing sauce you've ever had in your life.
There you go. Have it.
Nice.
Get in.
So much for the edit. Sorry.
Yeah, it's okay. That's fine.
This episode's sponsored by Canes.
By Canes, that's right. And sauce. Yeah. All right. So, Jordan, we had a lot of shots on goal. Probably should have had two by Graben. The Barnsley keeper was really good.
Yeah, it was almost a game of two keepers. I think Samba made some great saves, I think three or four, to keep us in the game towards the end and protect the points. And Dawson with an amazing block at the end. Barnsley's keeper, again, equally, you know, was bombarded by shots for us until we actually got the goal in the end. And it was a really good game. Again, it was, we look back and everyone with anticipation before the game, you know, thinking, right, now's the time for us to build momentum. We've played all the tough teams. This is the first game against, you know, 22nd in the league or whatever it was at the time. These are the games for us. Usually lose or draw. At Barnsley, I always have nightmares about because a couple of years ago we drew 2-2 to them. Lewis McGugan with the last minute equaliser. And it was the only game that let me down on a 12-fold accumulator bet that would have won me £4,500. So I really do not like Barnsley. Barnsley just really kills me inside. And I was a student at the time, so I'd have really appreciated that. Yeah, everyone was thinking about the nerves before this game, but, you know, great relief to get through it. And they, again, it shows the sign of the times, really, where we are, you know, becoming more solid, more difficult to beat, and actually, you know, grinding out these results, and we're really relentless and persistent in games. And I think we really got just rewards for our, you know, industry and grinding out that result, really. And we look fantastic at times. And then, yeah, just picking up on the Matty Cash comment earlier, you know, his industry really drove that goal for Benny Watson to score. So, yeah, great result. We got the 3 points, and the Samba effect continues.
Mark, let's talk about us getting forward. We got forward a lot in this game, but Barnsley shut it down quite a bit. So to be fair, we were on the attack most of the game. And I also wanted you to comment on, I think Dawson might be one of the best people I've ever seen from the back doing these crosses all the way downfield. They're amazing.
Yeah, I mean, when they work, for sure. I think Jordan mentioned earlier in the season, the ratio wasn't high. But when you're playing a team like Barnsley and you have a little bit more space because they're not pressing you in your defensive third, yeah, I think anybody can end up looking like Beckenbauer spraying those 50, 60-yard balls cross-field, which Dawson does so very well, again, when he has the time and space to do so. I'm still chuckling away at Jordan's Kevin Keegan-esque comment of, it was almost a game of two goalkeepers. Like, when is there never a game with two goalkeepers? But I know what you meant, mate.
Turn into Michael Owen, haven't I, with all the obvious ones?
But in terms of the attacking piece, Corey, you know, it's a good point you make, because even though we had a lot of the ball and obviously the majority of the attacks, shots on goal and so on, stats were in our favour. When you play a team that sits in so deep, it's very challenging. And this is one of those games, you know, again, I said that Swansea was the high watermark. This is another of those games which shouldn't be taken lightly. This is another of those games which is a bowweather, really, for whether or not Forest are really in it to win it this year. These are games that we have historically struggled with. I mean, obviously, this, you know, they've lost Jordan money in the past, which is devastating. But that aside, Forest's promotion hopes have been derailed by teams like this, particularly at the City Ground. Dan, who already name-checked a couple of times, sent out a really interesting tweet earlier this week, which I screenshotted. Screenshotted? Screenshot? I don't know. Anyway.
Dan shat on his screen.
Because I just thought this was really interesting, but I think it also ties into what we're talking about. He says, 23, 10, 17, 19, 14, 20, 21, 18. These are not lottery numbers, folks. He says, the current league positions of our next eight league opponents, average position of 18 versus average position of eight teams we've already played, which was eight. When people are talking about going on a run and gaining momentum, now is the time. And he makes an excellent point. And I think the subtext to what he says in that tweet is, these are the games that Forest has struggled with in the past. These are the teams who are going to batten down the hatches. We have to find a way through. And, you know, Benny Watson, unorthodox goal scorer, right? Probably not being picked up in the box, maybe as much as some of the lads around him. But if Forest can find a way to get the ball in the net, then, yeah, could have a really good start to at least first half of the season.
Jordan, somebody that I kind of forgot that was even in this match, Silva, not a very inspiring match to you?
I think, you know, we mentioned this with our kind of preferred 11s last time. I think he's one where I think he's still adjusting to the Championship, and a bit like Carvalho in his first season, it's taken a bit of time to adjust to the league. And I think we're yet to see the best of him. And we'll touch on the Arsenal game too, where I don't think he was having the best of games either. And I don't know whether it's, you know, him needing a rest. He's played a lot of games for us at the start of the season, and it's probably workload he's not used to coming from Portugal and the intensity of the games that we have here. But you see glimpses of class from him. They are similar but different players. And maybe it's time for him to kind of step out the lineup, recuperate, rest a bit, and then come back in. But I don't see him in our best starting 11 right now.
I love Jordan's comment there, the games that we have here. He's talking to us right now from freaking Borneo.
Yeah. He's not losing too much money on Forest.
the Malaysian Premier League standard over her, yeah.
Right.
That's right. That's super funny. Well, I rated Worall and Dawson. I thought they were both very good in this match. And I know that Jordan's going to love this, but don't F with the Samba effect near the end of the game, right? I mean, he was the fist of justice. He was not having anything from Barnsley at the end of the match. I was waiting for something great to happen, but then had he got a red card, it really would have sucked, right?
Yeah. We built that wall in front of our goal at the end of the game. Like, and I think that, again, shows how far we've come. We were so solid defensively. And yeah, there were so many times I was like, oh no, we're going to come see an equaliser here. It's coming. And, you know, we held out and, you know, we've got the heroic Michael Dawson block where he then goes mental after he's blocked it and everything celebrating. Shows the passion and, again, the grittiness, the relentlessness to kind of get over the line. And when you think about the games in the last 10 minutes, it's kind of almost when our team comes alive, which is a good sign rather than tiring and wiltering a bit like Leeds have in past games. So really, really good signs from my perspective.
I think when it comes to the league matches, one of the things that jumps out to me is that there are no unsung heroes. Everybody is being sung right now because everybody's playing in a shift and Forest fans are seeing it from every player. So long may it continue.
There was an article in The Athletic too that by Paul Taylor where it was an interview with Joe Lolley and he was kind of saying how, yes, he's only got one goal and one assist so far this season compared to 11 goals, 11 assists last year. But, you know, he feels like we're much more of a team this year. Everyone's performing. And I think that just references your point, Mark, where everyone's stepped up and that's perfect for what we need this season, and it's not as individualistic as previous seasons have been. So if anyone hasn't read that article, thoroughly recommend having a read.
We have some Twitter reaction on this match for sure. Bryce Samba is the best goalkeeper Forest have had in years. That's 3 clean sheets in 5 games for him with 2 goals conceded. He's completely a different level than Muric. That's obvious.
Yeah, when we come back to the Arsenal game again, we'll think about that as well.
All right,
based on his Kosovan performance against England.
Somebody posted that on Twitter. I didn't get their name, so if that was you, thank you for that. That was a good one on Samba. According to Michael Broomy on Twitter, since Forrest signed Michael Dawson on July 1st, 2018, 448 days, 64 weeks, 1 year, 2 months, 21 days, Forrest have lost 1 league game that he's played in. That's my effing captain.
So firstly, that just seemed remarkable and entirely improbable to me, but it may be accurate. But if it is, bear in mind that Dawson spent 80% of that time on the treatment table. So
there's definitely a catch there, right?
Yeah, no doubt. But still, he's done really well while he's been on the field. And he is, you know, he's an imposing figure. He is every bit the captain. Now, he left Nottingham Forest, I would say a child, a very young man, you know, kind of setting off into the world with great ambition and a great deal of potential. He returned to us, you know, a seasoned captain. I mean, every bit the finished article. So, you know, years may be against him, but for right now, he's performing fantastically.
All right. So the way that we're going to get into this next match, because we want to kind of skip over it, but we want to make a little bit of light of it. It was a cup game and, you know, we're playing our second team against Arsenal's second team, and I think we know what happened. But the funniest part of this was me being part of a WhatsApp group and reading some of the comments as this thing was unfolding. Let's just go back. With 20 minutes to go, we were only down 1-0. So,
it's crazy when you think about that.
We were in it, and then it was the most priceless 20 minutes of WhatsApp reaction as it's unfolding. It was pretty classic. I'm just going to go through these quickly, guys, and we can kind of laugh at it. The first one was, on the plus side, Muric didn't let 5 in, and that was before he let 5 in.
Must be somebody who's never seen Muric play before.
Nice day out. On to the next game. Poor Muric. Not sure Samba would have fared much better, to be honest. His last 2 starts on English soil, 10 goals. England 5, Arsenal 5.
Ouch.
Against an England national team and Arsenal. They had 15 corners to R0, which was a huge problem. So we're going to go through the Arsenal stats as well. So you know, we kind of just have to look at it as like, there's a lot of people that lost this round of the cup matches, and we were one of them.
Yeah, and as far as the Muric situation is concerned, let's just be up front here because he's everybody's favorite Pinata. This wasn't on Muric. Now, that being said, he does have this incredible ability as balls fly by him to kind of almost like look over his shoulder and watch them hit the back of the net as if to say, what's that doing there? There were several occasions against Arsenal where he seems frozen in time and you're thinking, and all of us are watching the ball fly into the net. It's like collectively we're all looking at one another going, how did that? Oh, wait, no, I'm the goalkeeper. Oh, that I am supposed to do something. And I'm half expecting him to jump after the fact, you know, like 4 or 5 seconds after the ball's gone in and the crowd is cheering. But, you know, this isn't on him. We didn't have a shot on target until the 73rd minute.
Yeah.
That being said, I was really encouraged by the first 10 minutes.
Yeah, so I think from my perspective, like, the bit that really gets me is Muric just doesn't look interested. Like, he really doesn't have any attitude as if he cares. That you look at Samba and he looks really into it on social media. He's buzzing about it all. Muric, I think, just couldn't give two Fs. And I really like, I'm getting quite angry with him and everything in that regard. And I'm going to try my best to calm down here before I go on a mad rant. But he needs to at least care. And, you know, if this loan spell does anything for him, it's a case of you need to earn something at times. And it's not always given to you on a plateau like it may be on at Man City. And he's not proven himself to play games. And when he acts like that and very uninterested and his body language sucks, you shouldn't be playing any minutes. And I'd rather have Jordan Smith playing those games if, you know, that's the kind of attitude that we have. But I agree with you, Mark. You know, Ribeiro was brilliant for us, I felt, against Arsenal. Was the only real attacking threat that we had. It was frustrating. We didn't really have a striker. We changed all of our formation. We didn't really have the same identity as we usually have, which was a shame. And I think that contributed a little bit to how the performance went, unfortunately. Yeah, I know it's a cup game. It doesn't matter as much. And, you know, all eyes will be on Stoke for the weekend where we potentially could go top of the league. But I felt like this is a real opportunity for us. Arsenal have been really shaky this season. You know, this could have been another way to just ride some more momentum. And nothing's better for fatigue than winning games. And if we'd have, you know, really taken Arsenal to task, and I think they were there for the taking for us, you know, we could have just carried on this momentum and had a rest after Friday's game at Stoke where we have a few more days off. But yeah, that's just kind of my thought on Arsenal, really.
Majority of the Arsenal team that anybody would know is basically sitting on the bench. Ozil is in there. And then, God, that freaking Hector Bellerin, I cannot stand him. And he comes in and makes a difference. And let's just be fair here. Muric, in my notes, I say Muric apparently is awake at 27 minutes. He had a shot on goal and he stopped it. Another quality stop.
That was a great save.
It really was. It was a really good save at about 40 minutes. So they go up on that Martinelli goal, and that's a great volley. That's not anything to be frowning on Muric. But then it really got worse. I'll go ahead and say this too. Carabao is a terrible drink. So
it really is.
It's really awful.
Yeah, building on terrible things. Like watching that game too made me kind of want us to stay in the championship as much so as I might get berated for that. It's a soulless stadium. It's not much atmosphere. Give me, you know, Leeds away or give me a Barnsley away or any time over that because, man, everyone's there just with phones out. Like, no one's really an Arsenal fan there. Like, it's just a bit of a senseless pit, isn't it, really? And it doesn't look appealing even if we go up, does it, really, that?
Yeah, sometimes I wish we were Barcelona B, you know, where we could play really good football. But it wouldn't matter how good we were, we'd never make it to the top division. So we could just enjoy the experience of playing in real stadiums against real teams. So a couple of things. It's interesting. I had never joined the dots on Muric's attitude. I made that comment about, you know, he doesn't look interested as the ball's flying into the back of the net. And then Jordan and Corey, with your observations, it's making me think. And I think everyone who listens to the show knows that one of the teams I follow is the Colorado Springs Switchbacks, who play in the USL, second tier of professional football here in the US. And oftentimes we get guys come down from the Rapids, right? Colorado Rapids, MLS, top tier. And more often than not, those guys look up for it because usually they're coming back off injury. And so they're they're only down with this maybe for three or four games just to prove that they're ready to go, and then they're back in the MLS team. But we have had a couple of guys that have been down there with their Louis Vuitton bags and their jewelry and their funny haircuts and, you know, tattoos up one arm and down the other. And they have such an attitude. And one young man in particular, who I will not name because it'll become obvious why in a minute, it's water under the bridge. But I will tell you, he was a defender, came play for the Switchbacks, was horrible, did a horrible job, and spent most of the game berating his teammates because it was clear that he was like, well, I'm MLS quality, right? I'm down here giving, you know, doing you guys a favor. And about 18 months after he left the team, somebody mentioned his name in a Facebook group and a whole bunch of us kind of jumped in on kind of what a jerk he was. And he was actually in the Facebook group and he actually waded in and said, absolutely, it was on me. I'm sorry. I had a horrible attitude. So fair play to the guy, which again is why I'm not going to name him and kind of dredge it all up. Other than to say, I think we're seeing a little bit of that with Muric. And again, I'm speculating here, but that does seem to be what we're seeing with him. And it's a little unfortunate. We've seen comments on Twitter about, oh, he's a young guy, give him a break. Yeah, you know what he is? He's a young professional. So somebody needs to take him aside and say, this is not how you conduct yourself. Regardless of what you do on the field, as a professional, this is not how you conduct yourself. There's more to just putting the gloves on and stepping onto the turf. And someone needs to have a word with him. The Arsenal game as well was a little frustrating to me in that we mentioned earlier in this podcast that Lamucci's done a really good job of moving out maybe two, three, four players, you know, kind of changing things up a little bit and keeping the momentum. This wasn't that. And it was disappointing. I mean, on the one hand, I was excited to see so many familiar faces come back into the fold, but it was too many. We didn't have a recognized striker. And I agree with Jordan. I think it was really an opportunity missed.
Just some really horrible stats from the Arsenal match. And let's just move on, guys. 27 shots by Arsenal, only five by us. We had 25 clearances. That's not bad. Block shots 11-2. The corners was absolutely atrocious, of course. It's just because we couldn't do anything, right? It was 15-0. We should have lost by eight probably.
We hadn't conceded from a set piece all season, league and cup, until this game, and I think we conceded two or three in the end. It was a tough wake up here, and it was 3:04. It was a 3 a.m. kickoff for me, so that was a bit of a disruption to the old sleep. And went to bed again after 4-0. But I think the best stat of the game was just the 8,400 Forest fans. So props to everyone making the trip down in the evening. Delayed kickoff too, so I hope everyone made the trains. But sounds like traffic was a bit of a nightmare with a few people getting in the real, real early hours. You know, nights like this are not what make the kind of wins even ever more sweeter. So hopefully the trip to Stoke, you know, people have earned that one, and hopefully we grab the 3 points.
And can we say, highlight of the Arsenal game, Lamucci wearing the Forest pin.
Yeah.
Okay. Wasn't it from the Trickies?
Yeah, let's give a big shout out to Dan for this. He met Sabri in the hotel lobby in Swansea. Gave him the pin badge, was over the moon with it, and he was representing the New York chapter on Wednesday.
New York. I didn't realize
that. He, however, is a victim of his own success, because that's now forever going to be known as the 5-0 pin.
That's harsh.
I've got my own 5-0 pin from my trip to New York, so let's just make sure we don't wear them in the playoffs.
Okay, so on that note, it was awesome the pin was given and worn on the sideline, right? However, he also got to meet Matty Cash, and Matty Cash wanted the NYC hat, and Dan took it back. I would start a GoFundMe for him to cover the $20 when you get an opportunity to give Matty Cash the hat and maybe get it worn down the line. Dan.
Yeah, but Matty should have stumped up. We should have seen Matty's cash.
I'll be here all week.
Tip your waitress.
I'm going to steal this from the NFL, but seriously, Dan, if a player asks for your NYC hat, you got to give it to him. Come on, man. Come on.
But we keep hearing they're low. We're so low on supplies, guys.
A player freaking wanted his hat. To give him the hat.
Should have given him a boot bag.
It wasn't Marge in the second row of City Ground. It was Matty Cash. Give him the hat. Pretty exciting news. We have our first voicemail on the Forest Fancast.
Hi, guys. I love the podcast. My name is Rithik. I just wanted to share my thoughts on how the season's going so far. I think that Sabri Lamouchi has been like an absolute revelation. I think the biggest thing that I've noticed so far is the team spirit and the togetherness that's back into the squad. And I think that's shown in some of the goals we've scored this season, especially the first goal against Fulham. You know, last season, we would rely on individual moments of brilliance from Carvalho and Joe Lolley, you know, to get us through games. But, you know, this season, the players genuinely enjoy playing with each other. And I think the resilience is also another thing that I've noticed. The players feel that they can get something out of games, they can make a result, even when we're not playing well. We did the Charleston games, really are examples of that. And those are, you know, two games that I feel we would have lost last season under Martin O'Neill. And I have a question to ask you guys. Do you think Savary will give opportunities to Milosevic and Kemba Rodriguez to start it in, you know, the cup games? I don't know why Milosevic hasn't been given any opportunities so far this season, especially since he was the best defender the second half of last season, in my opinion. So I just want to get your guys' thoughts on that.
Yeah, really, really good question. I think it was very timely before the Arsenal game, as you know, I think as some of these players then featured off the back of it. Yeah, so, you know, do we think Sabri will give opportunities to Milosevic and Rodriguez and you know, Kemmer played against Arsenal? I didn't think he did too badly. I think he was fairly solid. Milosevic was great to see him alive and on the bench. And I think I tweeted that as one of my tweets during the game. Yeah, I think with those, Worrell and Dawson have proved themselves to be the best, you know, pair for us right now. They're performing excellently well. We spoke about that for the Barnsley game. They're just going to have to wait for their opportunity. But I think Arsenal showed that, you know, Sabri is willing to give them game time when it permits. And it's one of those you have to earn your stripes. And, you know, Worrell and Dawson are doing fantastically well so far. It was great to have that question, and it got timed basically just after we got the voicemail with the starting lineups. So I think that's the great thing that we, you know, we mentioned it earlier around Sabri giving, you know, a lot of the team and squad opportunities within that 20 odd that he has as a core group. And, you know, it's great to see that Milosevic is back in it and Kemba too.
Mark, you've been at the longest with Forest. Is it time to let Sabri Lamouchi do what he's doing and let us just watch?
Ooh, that's a great question. I like it when you hit me with stuff that we haven't talked about previously. yeah, I think it is. But I also think the same is true of several managers over the last few years. I think there are several managers who could have done with a little bit more rope and could have done with us respecting what they were trying to get done at the City Ground. You know, we talked at the beginning of the show about Cluffy and about his influence. You know, his shadow still lays long over the City Ground. You know, those trophies are there for all to see. Those pictures are on the wall there for all to see. Getting Forest back to the promised land, it's a tough ask. Lamouchi has definitely proven himself in these first few games to be astute and to be a better motivator of players than I imagined him to be. And I think those players who aren't in the team right now do need to buy their time. It's a long season. The FA Cup's going to kick in here soon as well. There'll be opportunities to play there as well. We know that, you know, we've been very lucky with injury so far. Can't maintain that luck all season long. So let's just continue doing what we're doing as a Forest fan base, which is keep staying on an even keel, appreciate what the team are achieving right now, recognize we're going to have rough parts of the season. Everyone's going to contribute and keep the faith.
Jordan, we're still going over players that have come and gone. Are you going with come or gone?
I'm happy to come and go. Let's start off with the departures, and then we'll go back to the coming. So it was a busy deadline day for us, and you know, we mentioned earlier in previous episodes how we noticed in earlier episodes how the size of the squad needed trimming, and it was a busy day in terms of outgoings, where we had four leave on deadline day, with Arvid Apaya going the day before. So I'll kind of run through those that left. So firstly, really close to the wire was Daryl Murphy, who kind of got released from his contract and then signed for Bolton on a free to help them as in their kind of recovery period following their 12-point administration deduction. And, you know, when I look back at his time at Forest, he just did a job for what we needed at the time. And, you know, again, was someone that was surplus to requirements for us now, I feel.
He earned his paycheck. I just want to chip in and say that. I was one of the biggest detractors of Murphy when he showed up. I thought he was a spent entity, but he came in and did exactly what you said, Jordan. He was the right man at the right time, and appreciate what he did.
Yeah, for sure. And he's going to be perfect for Bolton. Real solid professional.
Agreed.
And wish him all the best there. Next one to leave was Jason Cummings. So speaking of Cummings and Goings,
he went to tattoos up one arm and down the other.
Went to Shrewsbury for an undisclosed fee. Again, was a guy, set the requirements. You know, one of the old ones left remaining from the Mark Warburton era, really. And it's weird to see that whole team, when we had a busy transfer window then, has just disappeared. He's moved on to bigger and better things there, I think. That's more his level. And again, wish him all the best there. But I just don't think he ever quite... One got the opportunity or really quite cut it when he was here. What are your thoughts, Mark?
He had his moments. You know, flashes of brilliance. He looked special on occasion, but it wasn't consistent enough. But boy, talk about the tattoos. Yeah. That lad had it going on.
I'm going to miss that smile on his hand whenever he scored a goal. We just never really saw it when he was at Forest. Third person out then was Liam Bridcut. And he went to Bolton on loan. Again, helping build their squad. And I think that's a quality signing for Bolton. I think him in League One will really start to dominate. And we start to see some of the tweets on the Bolton Twitter feed around how good is this kid. And again, was just someone that, never really got the opportunity, but two, was probably not as good as the options we had. And, really wish him all the best. I think he's finally getting some game time.
Corey's getting a little action there. You're missing now. I like Bridcut a lot. When he actually came to Forest, I reached out to one of my mates who, he's an acquaintance because he's a Leeds fan, so he can't be a mate. But I reached out to somebody I know who follows Leeds and said, so what's the skinny on Bridcut? And of course, he was the captain at Leeds before he came to Forest, and Leeds regarded him very highly. It was a bit of a coup to get him. I wish he'd got more of an opportunity. I think he was a quality player. When you look at some of the guys we have in midfield now, you know, was there an enormous amount of difference between him and them? In some cases, probably not. But wish him all the best.
And then we just had Bolly Ariyibi, who left for Panathinaikos for an undisclosed fee. Interesting one this, that we actually sold him to one of Olympiakos' biggest rivals. Green is famously banned at Forest now under the Greeks. So maybe we've just absolutely done them over with a guy that could never even get anywhere near the Boris squad, and we plugged him to be this wonder kid, and we just done over the
shot. That's amazing. Amazing. That's all that needs to be said. I have nothing to add.
And then the big one is just Arvin Appiah going to Almeria for £8 million. Personally, for me, I think great to cash out on that one. You know, while it's a shame we don't get to see his full development, I think he, you know, has a good opportunity to play La Liga football and really build a brand abroad. And he follows a bit of a trend of young English players now going abroad, which we've never really seen for the past five years or so. And wish him all the best. And props to Gary Brazil again for churning out millions of pounds worth of player from the academy.
Yeah, I actually want to jump in on that. So a tweet from Alex Quantock. Again, took a screenshot of this a couple of weeks ago. It was so good, I wanted to hold it over and share it on the show. He says, little shout out to @GazBraz, who's Gary Brazil, for keeping the club afloat all these years. Since he joined Forest, we've made around £42 million in transfer fees from Academy products and currently have a further five homegrown players in and around the squad. Give that man a raise. Fair play, Gary Brazil and the team there.
Building on the Academy and Gary Brazil's great work, one of those youth products has signed a mystery long-term deal. We don't know how much it is or for how long, but a great way to bump up his transfer fee if he ever leaves. But Brennan Johnson has signed a deal this week to stay at the club, and he played against Arsenal as well. I think he performed better than Silva as well, actually, to add to that. Showing real promise, starting to break into the team this year, and a proud moment for him, and obviously his father, he donned the Garibaldi as well. You know, great to see us tying down these prospects to longer term deals, and really excited to see how he continues to develop and hopefully break into the side on a more regular basis.
Yeah, I just hope that Jono Jr. has more success with injuries than Jono Sr., who had I really had a soft spot. I thought David Johnson was fantastic for Forest when he was able to stay fit, played with a lot of passion, scored some important goals. Certainly a player I think that Forest fans generally look back on with fondness. So good luck to Brendan in his career, however many years that might be, with Forest moving forwards. Glad to have him on board long term.
This segment on the Forest Fancast seems to be catching on, and I cannot wait to find out who the next player I'll need to do a profile on. But instead of profiling somebody that's on the team or just left the team, this is a player that I have no idea about anything about him. So this is now called Forest Academy, and we're going to talk about Franz Carr.
It needs to be called Corey's. It needs to be called Corey's Classic Callbacks.
Oh, that works too. I think Mark Dennison has that on BBC Nottingham. I don't.
What did Corey choke on this week?
That's right. So for those that asked me, Franz Carr, he played under Cloughy, which we've learned about through Mark, and we appreciate that, contributed to Forest winning the League Cup in both 89 and 90. Mark, you remember that?
Oh, very, very memorable.
That's awesome. Franz eventually retired from professional football in 2000 following a spell in the U.S. playing for the Pittsburgh Riverhounds. You know anything about them, Mark?
I absolutely do, yeah. USL team.
Awesome, yeah. USL is actually quality. I've watched a couple of those matches. Louisville club's really good. Didn't they win it last year?
I don't remember because the Switchbacks didn't win it and I lost interest.
Yeah, that makes sense. So Franz Carr now lives in a Derby shithole.
That's just Derby, period.
Is it Derbyshire? It's not Derby shithole, is it?
I actually lived in Derbyshire, and Derbyshire is nice. Derby, the city, is an armpit.
Okay, so it's not Derby shithole, it's Derbyshire. Derbyshire. Is that how you say it? Give me a break. I'm in Florida.
Yeah, absolutely. You're doing a good job.
Okay, good. Not Derby shithole.
Either's fine. Either's okay, acceptable. Good.
And he works in sports management now. His overall stats, wow, he played a lot of matches, 159 apps from 85 to 91. Is that correct?
Sounds about right. Yeah, he was a regular. He was one of Cluffy's favorites.
I have seen that he might be considered one of the top 11 wingers of Forest all time.
Yeah, I go along with that also. Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm not that old. I can name them all. But yeah, he certainly in my lifetime, I think about Steve Stone. I think about, obviously, John Robertson. Goes without saying. Gosh, I'm sure I'm missing some obvious entries, but yeah, Franz Carr would definitely be up there.
All right, so the challenge is out there. Tweet us, tweet Jordan, tweet Mark. Let us know who I need to profile next time. I love learning about Forest players. I had no idea they were alive, so it's cool stuff.
I like this segment, especially as we're getting done with the new players now. So this is kind of like a natural transition.
That's right.
Yeah.
And people like to make fun of me, so it's all good. So let's do predictions, and then we're going to get a North America chapter update. You ready to do some predictions, Mark? You love this part.
God. I think I'm actually off. I think I've got points now, don't I? Doesn't everybody have points now?
Everybody has points, I believe.
Okay.
Yes. Everyone has points. Almost everyone predicted a win against Barnsley. So 3 or 5 to everyone there.
Okay. So as regular listeners of the show will know, I can't remember how to access my spreadsheet with my original predictions on. So you could look at this both ways. I'm either cheating now because I'm predicting based upon current form, or I'm actually giving, this is a service I'm providing for you because, you know, I'm actually doing something that's meaningful as opposed to harkening back to some score that I made, a score prediction I made 2 months ago that had no relevance to anything. So, okay. So who do you have, Corey? Line me up. Who do we have?
So we've got Stoke City. It's on ESPN Plus this Friday. So it's a well-featured match. It's going to get some national attention here. So let's talk about Stoke. Mark, go ahead.
So yeah, this is one of those Barnsley games. This is one of those games where, you know, Stoke are going to dig in, look to hit us on the counter-attack. The only thing that might make them a little more ambitious is the fact they're at home. And the fact they're on a terrible run of form right now. I think their current manager, Nathan Jones, has won, I want to say it's something ridiculous, like 4 of 30 games or something awful. So there's a lot of talk in and around Stoke that his neck is on the line. So yeah, we might see him go for it. I hope they do. I hope they come out as guns blazing because I think we will take them apart. I predict Forest 3-0.
Wow. Big score. So I went for 2-1 loss originally back, you know, 3 months ago when we did these.
So that's your prediction. You're not allowed to change it.
I can't change it. I'm done for.
You're done. No, go ahead. You can adjust.
I think I'm going to flip that round. So I think it's going to be 2-1 Forest.
Mark and I actually have something in common. I think we're going to put a lot of goals in that. It's going to be get in Friday. It's going to get in for the weekend. It's going to start your weekend off good. 3-0. I believe Forest is just going to run away with it. I don't know who's going to score. I don't know who's starting. So,
what? I think it's going to be back to a similar lineup from the Barnsley game. Would be my view on that one.
Agreed with that. So the next match, we're going to do three predictions this time because our next recording will be after the Brentford match. So we'll go ahead and do Blackburn Rovers. That is going to be on a Tuesday. Yeah. That is October 1st. Start off the month of October with a match. Mark, what do you think?
Yeah, this is this one. I don't know why this makes me feel a little uncomfortable. I don't know why. This should be another of those fairly routine victories. Our record this season, obviously, is far better than Blackburn's. Again, like Stoke there, they're another team fighting for survival. I just don't want to sit on the fence. I was going to go 1-1. I'm going to go narrow 2-1 victory for Forest.
Yeah, they are 10th in the league right now, and Tony Mowbray is doing a bit of a job for them there. But I went for a 2-1 win away at Ewood Park next Tuesday in my original prediction. I think, yeah, draw or win is probably my view. So I'd put a draw no bet on Forest for those in the betting capacity there.
How did they get up to 10th? Have they had a resurgence?
Yeah, somehow.
What's their recent record? We're not interested. This is the Forest for Fancast.
Beat Reading on Saturday 2-1.
Oh, okay. That's a good
result. So that would have helped them because it's so tight in that part of the league. When you look at the league, it's like the top 13 and like split by like 5 points. And then there's like a 4-point gap and then everyone else there split by 4 or 5 points. So it's starting to get a bit of a two-tier league developing, but we'll see how that goes over the next few weeks.
I actually have a 2-1 win for Forest as well. I think the road dominance continues. I think we'll just keep rolling on the road. I think it's huge to have a goal like Samba on the road. I think he'll just take charge there. And we move on to Brentford, which is October 5th. That is going to be at City Ground. Mark, let's do it. What do you think?
We never do well against Brentford. They're not tearing up any trees this year, but they are always a good footballing team. Again, another one that makes me nervous. Anyone who's listened to the podcast up to this point knows I don't predict against Forest. I will never predict a Forest defeat. I mean, God, I said 6-0 Arsenal. I just got it the wrong way around and one goal out. but because I am so nervous about this one, I'm going to go with a 2-2.
Ooh, Desmond. I'm going to go for a 1-0 win. Yeah, 1-0 win is what I had in my prediction. I'm pretty confident about that. If we do well against Brentford, it's usually at home, which we are this time. And I'm going to stick with a similar to Barnsley performance where we just get the goal that we need and we move on from there.
I think we have an international break that's happening after this match. I think that we're going to throw everybody forward and we're going to try and score a lot of goals. So I'm actually going to go with a 2-0 win. It's at home after two road wins. I feel that it could really be special. Go with 9 points for me over the next three matches and we go to international break and everybody's happy.
Nice.
We get 9 points. If you boys are on song, we get 9 points going into the international break. I think we surely head into that break top of the tree.
It sounds like it.
Yeah, at least in the top three, just given other teams around us and potentially them picking up points. But we've got a real, and I think again, just real opportunity now. This is a chance to build the momentum. We've gone through the real tough games at the start of the season. If we can, really kind of reap the rewards of that real grind on the first kind of 7-8 games of the season, now's the time and really time to see kind of what we're made of.
All right, watch this. I'm finally going to get this right. We've got an NFFCNA update with Jordan. Give me close. I know. God damn it. NFFCNA.
Okay, so there will be an email dropping this week, guys, that will reveal where we are going to be meeting up for this season. So everyone, please hold the weekend of March the 21st in their calendars. And we will be going to a nice warm destination, given Chicago snowed this year. So please keep an eye out on your email to be coming and dropping in your inboxes in the next coming days. But the meetup location has been decided. We just need to find a bar. So for those that can help out, or those that are in the area of this destination, please reach out to us and help us as we look to find that. But we have a destination, we have a date. So please look out for the emails to drop through. And I'll give you a short list of four that we were looking at when we picked one of these. So the first one we were looking at was Toronto.
It's not warm. Cross that one off.
And most of our listeners don't have passports, so.
Yeah.
Second one was New Orleans.
Ooh.
Third one was Nashville. And the fourth was Austin. So one of those is the destination that will be dropping in the emails. I look forward to meeting everyone in March.
Mark, I know a lot of great hotels in New Orleans. A lot.
I know a lot of great bars in Austin.
Yeah, and I actually have some great bars we could go to in New Orleans. Yeah.
They sound drinking New Orleans.
Boston is not warm in March, so throw that in Toronto out.
Austin, the other one? He said Austin, dude. He said Austin.
Austin, Massachusetts. Yeah.
Massachusetts. Have another sip, my friend.
I don't know. Yeah. Austin in March is in that. It could be pretty cold up there, too. So I still think New Orleans might be the player.
He knows we're saying Austin, right, Jordan?
Yeah, I think so.
Austin,
Texas. I know.
Me too, baby. Matthew McConaughey. All right.
There you go. So, that's the major update. And then there's one Canadian membership pack that got returned because the label fell off the envelope. So that's on me. So if anyone hasn't received their membership pack in Canada, please drop us an email at nffcna@gmail.com. And I will send out a package for you. And apologies for it not getting to you. That's on me. So please reach out if that is you.
Guys, be careful over in Malaysia, Borneo, whatever Jordan's doing. Mark, thank you so much.
I'll try my best. Thanks, guys.
And you're welcome, guys.
Yeah, let's hope next time we speak, we're top of the table, really.
9 points. You're it.
You're it.
Thanks, Mark. Thanks, Jordan.
Hey, this is Shane Malcolm.
And this is Jordan Schweitzer.
We're the creators of Boot Bags.
Fashionable, durable, washable. Boot Bags are the most convenient way to carry your cleats to and from training or games. Check us out at bootbags.us.
You're listening to the Forest Fancast podcast.